The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, you guys, welcome to another week of Just the Sip. I'm your host, Justin Sylvester. Follow me on Instagram. I have a new Instagram handle at Justin A. Sylvester. I am growing up. I am an adult now. But I realized that no dude wanted to hook up with a guy named Lady Sitter. It was really impeding my quarantine progress on the dating front. And that's actually a true story. But speaking of growing up, today I have one of my favorite actors. And I would have to say, maybe one of my idols. I love this man because he was a scene stealer in every show he was on. He is a true comedic actor, and he is a voice the world should always listen to. Please welcome Alfonso Ribeiro. How are you today?
Good. You know, just a little frazzled because I was like, okay, I don't have any of these technologies to get into this specific one. So I had to go to a completely different computer. My technical difficulties come from the reality that, like, I don't like that all the different technology. I'd rather just live in a analog world where we just simply just, I remember when we used to just pick up the phone and talk to each other.
You remember the struggle to get to the S on your text messages because you had to hit the P four times because
right.
There were four letters on that S.
Yes, I remember that. I'm old enough to remember before that.
I already know that y'all got everything done in the 90s, okay?
Yes.
You were literally the You were on the hottest TV show. You were best friends with one of the funniest and funnest men in Hollywood. You guys must have ran Sunset Boulevard like no one's business.
You know what? Listen, I'm not going to talk about the Sunset because Will didn't go anywhere. Will was a homebody. Yeah, he never really wanted to go out much. He was weird that way. I went out. I went out a little bit.
Who was your running buddy?
Two of my running buddies were actually, do you remember Grant Show from, Merrill's Place? He's now on Dynasty.
Yes.
Yeah. Grant was one of my best friends. And then another actor by the name of Sean Patrick Flannery, he was actually Powder and, Boondock Saints, Suicide.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was the three of us. We were the three Musketeers back in the day.
And you never had to worry about things showing up on social media, about camera phones.
There was none of that. Not that we were doing anything that would have shown up, you know, but you could just be, you know, the most you had to worry about was like, literally, I remember like in the Roxbury days, like the paparazzi would be across the street with telephoto lens and they would like shoot you inside of the club.
Damn.
It's just different. Now they're not across the street. They're actually in the club.
Yes.
Yeah. So
it's so crazy. You know, whenever you think about TV shows nowadays, I feel like people have it easier because when you guys were doing multi-cam live audience, you know, moments and comedy, you guys as a family and a cast were bringing all of it in front of people. You had to be on and pop it.
Well, you definitely had to be on. And like the thing that I would say about, especially like Fresh Prince, was the fact that we actually would shoot an entire show in under 2 hours. And I remember like when Friends and Seinfeld was on and we would hear like, oh yeah, they were shooting till 4 a.m. And we were like, what are they doing 4 a.m? Like, I don't understand. Here's a script. You say the words, you make it funny, you get the laughs, you keep on moving, like be ready for a performance. So I used to always laugh at the fact that like, you know, those shows would get all of this, you know, oh, it's these shows. And I would be like, yeah, but they work till 4 a.m. How many takes did it take them to get it right?
Yeah. You
know? I mean, I guess they got it right, so it didn't matter. But, you know, like we got it right on take one.
I feel like every day after school, it was the same routine. Come home, make a bowl of cereal and get right in front of that TV because Fresh Prince was like rerunning these whole times. You have kids now. Have they figured out that like how much of a cultural impact you have had on America?
I would say maybe my oldest one, my daughter, Sienna, might have that, you know, perspective a little bit. Obviously, you know, she's 18 now. So I would say maybe she has a little bit. The little ones obviously have no clue. You know, look, it's hard to recognize what's different than life, right? Like they have grown up and I have my entire life and their entire lives, I've been on TV working. Right. So, and so same for my daughter, but there were periods where I wasn't necessarily doing as much. And so she could reflect a little bit. But for the little ones, it's like daddy's just on TV. Right.
So that's what he does.
You know, it's just they don't know anything different. They don't know like, oh, wow, there's a time that he wasn't on TV. There's a time that he was on TV before and people view him this way. And it's very confusing to them. And I try to keep them completely confused because I don't want them to understand it ever. Like, I don't want them to really get it.
Yeah.
You know, we have fun with it and we laugh about it. But, like, it's weird because, like, I do the voice for the PGA Tour champions and I do their commercials. And I watch a lot of golf, obviously. You know, we'll be in the car. And it was very funny the other day. I was taking my son, AJ, to baseball practice and I had the golf, you know, the PGA golf channel on the radio and my commercial came on and it was like, oh, there you are, daddy. And it was just so nonchalant. And it's just, you know, oh, that's your voice. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's my college tuition right here.
Yeah. Just, you know, oh no, I actually don't do it for money at all. I do all the PGA stuff I do for charity.
Nice.
So it's all, you know, I'm a global ambassador for them, all the rest, but all of that is done for charity. They're the number one charitable organization in the world. And so for me to be able to be part of that and to support wonderful charities in the process to me is a bonus.
But you're getting them free tickets. You ain't got to call nobody to go to Pebble Beach. You just walking up.
If I want to go some places, I got some phone numbers.
You know, I was raised by a single mother, and a lot of what I learned about being a dad was through Uncle Phil.
Right, right.
It was a mix between Uncle Phil, the dad from Good Times, and like Tim Allen. Tim Allen kind of was like the tough love white dad who like kind of teaches kids lessons. Like,
yes,
this was I grew up in an interesting mix where TV dads kind of sort of raised kids. Do you find yourself doing things like the late James Avery?
I wouldn't say I do that because, you know, I was fortunate enough to have an incredible dad who was in my life, still in my life and there for me. I mean, if I'm going to someone for advice, I'm going to my dad, right?
Yeah.
In terms of being a dad. I would ask questions and I was also really a good kid. I say this to my sons all the time and we talk about listening. You know, we as boys, men, we, you know, we have this thing that we got to prove that we're right and we got to prove that we could do it our way. And there are many times when I'm like, okay, you can prove that you're right, but you'll still be wrong because no matter how much you think you're right, you don't have perspective. You don't have the ability to look at all of the different factors and figure out what's the best way of doing it. You can listen to me. I've succeeded.
Yes.
I'm not saying you have to follow my path, but there are aspects to success that are always the same. So I'm going to give you those nuggets. I'm not going to tell you to do it my way, but I'm going to tell you that this is what successful people do. You choose however you want to do it. We had a situation, you know, with we were practicing baseball just yesterday, and you know, he wanted to throw it a different way, and he would, and you know, meltdown
like
started
you saw on
to
TV.
Happen,
yeah,
you know, and I was like, dude, let me tell you something. You're playing baseball for you. It ain't for me.
Yeah,
I got plenty of stuff to do. I can fill this.
I'm gonna go
time.
Right back in this house.
I could fill this time with some other things. This is about you. You got to decide whether you want to do it. And so, like, but those were things that I learned from my dad. You know, it was like many times, you know, where I might have a meltdown going to set. My dad would be like, you want to stop?
Because we can stop this.
I mean, you don't have to act another day in your life if you don't want to. We can stop right now. But if we going to do it, we're going to do it right. We're not going to play this. Let's be emotional and let's do No. We're not doing that.
Where the hell were you between the years of 86 and 93 when I didn't wrap my head around you don't have to be right all the time?
Yeah, I was on TV.
You were booked and busy.
I was on TV. You could have called the TV and be like, hey, TV. I need this.
Can you
pop me
in here?
Yeah, hold on. You're not helping me. You're not helping me.
I'm like hitting the side of the TV. Like, come on.
Come on, TV.
I always tell people it's so crazy because I feel like I got the job that I wanted. I'm living the life that I always envisioned, but I feel like the universe gave it to me at the perfect time. It didn't give it to me in my 20s when I couldn't handle it. It didn't give it to me, you know, even in my teens when I was just, I would have blown everything. I would have ruined all of it. But you started, I mean, I feel like Silver Spoons was your big break. Am I wrong?
No, I would say it was a little bit before that. But that was like my TV big break in terms of sitcom. But I had a Broadway show called The Tap Dance Kid before that. And I was on the Michael Jackson Pepsi commercial, and that was kind of what gave me the huge success that brought me to Silver Spoons and beyond. But yeah, I've been working from day one. I started my first acting gig was at 8 professionally, and it was actually my first audition. So I've been literally working since day one of being in this business, and I'm that fortunate. But I would agree with your assessment that, you know, the universe gave it to you at the right time.
Yes.
To handle it. And that's what's been in my career. There were periods where I didn't work. And maybe because I wasn't ready for what that next level needed to be. Like I remember with Dancing with the Stars, my team and I, we wanted to be on from the very beginning. I was calling Dina Katz and ABC and I kept wanting to get on. You gotta let me on. And they wouldn't let me on. And I look back at it and I go, and my manager and I, we talk about this all the time. And we talk about like how like, no, it was exactly the right time that you got on. Because like you were able to parlay that into other things that may not have ever been available to you if you would have got it then.
I believe that.
So, you know, I one of the things my dad, who was my manager when I was very young, we used to talk about all the time. And that is, you know, things will happen at the right time. You know, we work hard to have as many eggs in the basket that are possible. And they will hatch when it's time. And when it's time, you just need to be ready to take advantage of when that thing hatches. It's not about the right now. It's about the entire journey. I didn't do this to get famous. I didn't do this to get rich. I did this because of the love of doing it. And I recognize that this is really the only thing that I feel like I'm good enough to do to be one of the top elite in doing something. So this is about the whole destination, right? This is the whole journey. I gotta be 90 and still available.
Not understanding
to
it. Yeah. You have to be 90 to finally close out what that journey actually was. But you know, for me, even, you know, I don't know if I can be an actor. The instability, the not knowing, the jitters that you get waiting for those phone calls time and time again. And look, you got a healthy ass IMDb. That's a healthy IMDb. But like you said, there were times where you weren't working and, you know, you had to wait for the right thing to come about. But how do you deal with that mentally?
For me personally, there has to be things in your life that are important to you other than just that, right? So I fell in love with race car driving. I fell in love with golf, right? I fell in love with my family. I view downtimes as an opportunity to do the other things in my life that I love. So when I'm not working, I'm on a golf course, right? I used to be in a race car. Right. I'm spending time with my kids. I'm spending time with the family because I believe that my talent will eventually be seen by enough people that will allow someone to think of me for something.
Yes.
And because I'm not waiting on one thing, I've got a lot of balls in the game. Right. Yeah. So it's directing, it's acting, it's hosting, it's performing, it's singing, it's dancing, it's, you know, it's writing, it's producing, it's...
You're like, if it pays, we doing it.
Which one's going to come up, right? And, you know, I've known many actors that, like, literally all they do is act. And they don't even try to do anything else. And you go, okay, so in acting, it's very strange, especially in television. You've got 2 months a year to book a job. Pilot season. That's it. And if those 2 months aren't the best 2 months... And you don't get the right one gig, because by the way, you can get a pilot and it not get picked up.
That's true.
Now you're locked in and you can't do another pilot because they still have you on contract. So a whole year goes around before you get the opportunity to go get another main gig again. Yeah, I'm like, I'm good with that. Good with that. I don't need that. Now I'm still good with it, but I'm like, but that doesn't mean I can't host. That doesn't mean I can't go out and perform. That doesn't mean I can't go out and try to sell a show. That doesn't mean that the other 10 months out of the year, I'm stuck because I got many balls in the game.
Yes, yes.
I never wanted one ball in the game. And that came from my dad. My dad was like, right early on, he's like, we got to have as many balls in the game as possible. And we're going to work on all of it. We're going to be really good at every one of these things. And 100%. You never know what's going to come calling.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know, let's be real, for Black actors in the 90s, 2000s, and even now, we're starting to see more roles. But back then, the roles were limited.
Well, and I would dare say percentage-wise, we're not seeing more, we're seeing less. There just happens to be more channels and more availability for everybody. But if think about it. Okay, let's go into the 80s and 90s. You had African-American shows on network television.
Yes.
What's the African American show on television right now?
Blackish.
And by the way, and I count all of the Blackish, the Ishes.
Grownish. Yeah, yeah.
Blackish, Grownish, the one. Off of the Blackish, right? And then what's the other one?
The Browns, Meet the Browns?
That's not network television.
Network television. Oh, that's BT.
And it ain't even Full Black, and it's The Neighborhood with Cedric. Right?
Oh, it ain't even Full Black.
So at the end of the day, when we talk about network television, there really isn't anything out there for us. So it is what it is, right? But there are a lot of other places. But, you know, no disrespect to TV1 or BET, but they're not paying the same as network television.
Yeah, so
at the end of the day, you could have a show on a lot of different networks, but you're getting, let's just call it cable numbers. Versus network numbers. And so it is not, I don't look at today and think, oh man, it's like so much better. I look at today and I go, no, it's worse, but there's areas for people, right?
Yeah.
A Black man's hosting America's Funniest Home Videos. that wasn't possible 30 years ago. So,
right.
So there are things that are available and we're trying to, you know, take advantage of all of that. And that's wonderful. And it's definitely, we are moving, but we're moving in both directions. And that's all, you know, I'll leave it at that, but we're moving in both directions.
I always say you and Rain Brady ran so I can walk.
I was watching his show last night and I'm so happy for Wayne. Like he's doing his thing and he's continued to stay there, you know, but Wayne and I are the same in that like
multi lanes.
Here's a possibility. Wayne Brady could do it. Here's a possibility. Alfonso Rivera can do it. And just always being capable of doing all the different things that are available because you just simply never know what's going to become available to you.
So basically, I have to take you or Wayne Brady out to get these jobs.
No. Here's the thing. Once we're working, there are other opportunities. You become
Are you
the
crazy?
Third.
I've
you
seen
become the third.
No. I've seen Wayne Brady on 3 channels in 1 day. I've seen you on 2 channels in 1 day. They're going to be like, find an hour. Alfonso got 20 more hours in the day. He can work it out.
He can. He can. And he will try in the third person. In the third person, he will try.
He will definitely try. This is just crazy. Look, I always thought and I prayed that one day I would turn on the TV and it'll be Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the reboot. But this time Will sends his daughter to live with you in Bel-Air. And it's the whole story come full circle again. Are you down with this reboot?
I like to call it a reimagining, right? We sometimes throw a lot of things into one word, right? One concept. A reboot would be kind of taking the actual show and the characters and
bringing it back,
right? So this is a totally different show, just based on, and it's not even based on the show, it's based on the theme song, right?
Ah, yes.
So it's a completely different thing. It's drama. It's not comedy. I have nothing to do with it, so I don't really know anything more than the details that everybody else has that we've all seen. But, you know, I actually appreciate it even more than a reboot, right? Because let's take a concept and turn it into a different show.
Yeah.
I'm like this. Hey, roll the dice. Go ahead and try it. Let's see what happens.
Go ahead and try it. I couldn't help but notice how even after all these years of you guys being apart as a cast, when you got together in that set, in that house, it was like you guys left each other yesterday. Like the love between all of you was still there and you can feel it. And it was crazy. But was there anything from that HBO Max reunion that you heard that you didn't realize was going on the whole time? Or did you know that everyone thought you were the one on the show?
Well, I would say this, like we get together a lot in the TV world. Nothing exists that isn't on TV.
Yes.
If I call up Tatiana and Tatiana comes over the house, did she actually come over to the house if it wasn't on TV? Yes, she came over to the house, right? Like if I hung out with Will, did we hang out if we didn't post about it? Yes,
that's the thing.
Right. Yes. Like so we're hanging out all the time. This just happened to be with a crew there. So the love that we've had for each other throughout, it's a continuation of the love. And all that people saw on that show was the continuation of that love 30 years later. You know, there were certain things, obviously, that were, you know, information, but most of it all were, you know, was stuff we all knew and stuff that it was nice to see. I really believe that Westbrook and his team, Will's team, they did a fantastic job putting it together. I thought it was beautifully done.
It was amazing.
And I thought that the audience learned a little something about how impactful we were back in the day.
120%. But I think it also opened you guys up to, you know, the new generation. We always talked about Fresh Prince. We always talked about the Carlton dance. We always talked about, you know, all of it. You know, they've seen it in clips, but I feel like this younger generation is about to start streaming this all over again and reliving all that love and all those moments and, you know, even things that, you know, I can't believe we touched on back in the 90s with the police.
Absolutely.
And all of it, like single, you know, deadbeat dads and just everything. I don't know. I feel like the younger generation needs that show. They need.
I say this all the time. There were a lot of things we did on that show that we couldn't do today. Right.
Yes.
Like just something as simple as Will having a Chictionary.
Yes.
Couldn't do that today.
Nope.
Couldn't do that today. That is something that would not be okay. Right. So there are some lessons that this generation should see to recognize. And I'm totally down with all of the movements, but sometimes movements go too far. Right. Sometimes they don't go far enough. Having perspective is what allows you to make that judgment. You can't live in only today's world and be able to understand everybody's perspective of that.
100%.
Right? Like you have to see it in its totality. You can't look at a, 75-year-old racist guy and go, oh, we need to take his whole life away because he's racist, then.
Yeah, yeah.
And he might have actually grown and recognized, or might not have grown and recognized, but his experience, where he came from, the understanding of what he knew is not easily changed. We can't tear down everybody that doesn't think the way they should think today because they didn't think it then. Understand them, recognize them, deal with them, and educate them with love. We don't need to educate them with anger, with hostility, with destruction. Who wants to learn under that?
You
love them for wanting to learn.
You're speaking it. I get in trouble for it all the time. I, get in fights with other people because they, and I get it. Some people are tired of educating people. I totally understand that.
And that's not your job. That's not my job. It's cool.
If I choose to sit by someone who I care about or who are somebody who I deem that actually wants to learn and actually wants insight and wants to have a conversation, I have the time and I'm cool with doing that.
Absolutely.
But sometimes when you're not ready to turn on the torch, I'm a Black gay man from South Louisiana. I have to be patient on a lot of fronts.
Absolutely.
Okay? In a lot of communities. So. Yes. For me, patience was not a virtue. It was a way of life.
Right.
And
it's a way of survival.
It's a way of survival. And, I always say the same thing. I cut my Twitter off about a year ago because everybody was digging into people's Twitters and, going back 10 years and saying, oh, you tweeted this about X, Y, and Z. You're done. You're canceled. And I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to delete mine right now because I don't know what I said 10 years ago that might be offensive to somebody in 2026.
I mean, I have no clue whether I have or haven't or what. I believe I've always been who I am. I'm no different today than I was 25 years ago. I'm inclusive. I love everyone and I respect everyone for their values, even if I don't agree with them. There are racist people in this country.
Yes.
There are misogynists. There are homophobic, right? My goal in life is to educate. Do you know that everybody's human and we all have love in our heart? So 1,000. Why can't we love each other for being different? There are a lot of different people in this world. Love them for being different. Listen, I don't want to live in a world where we're all the same.
I don't either. And I'm going to double down because at this point, I don't even need you to love me, but I need you to respect me and I need you to talk to me and address me as you would your other neighbor who looks, acts, and speaks like you. And that's how I live my life.
And it's funny because I don't even need them to do that. I'll walk away from you. The only time that you affect me is if you are trying to physically harm me, physically prevent me from living my life, or you are taking a job away from me based on that. Outside of that, whatever.
We're good.
Do your thing.
Don't come for that check.
And hopefully one day, two things will happen. You will learn or you will die off like everybody does. So we're all gonna pass at some point. At the end of the day, if we continue to teach our youth, then that's the world that the world is going to become. I don't need to teach my elder. They're going to be gone one day, and that negativity will disappear with them as long as the next generation has been taught a different way of life. We continue to evolve. It's called evolution. It's very simple.
But we also have to, we can't cancel people left and right, because if we're not having these conversations, younger generations aren't learning about the struggle and about these opposing points.
Absolutely.
So for me, on reality TV, there was this TV show where during the pandemic and during Black Lives Matters, all these kids were getting fired from this TV show, this reality TV show, and they wouldn't air it. And I'm like, why are you firing them? Don't cancel these people off of a TV show because they said racist things. Show America what happens to you when you use language like that, even if you didn't mean it. But let me, I want to see her lose her wine job. I want to see her lose, you know, her book deal. I want people in that generation to see what happens and give those people a chance to rectify and learn and come full circle in their own journey in front of the cameras.
The problem that we have with that is it's hard for everyday Americans to approve of the idea that even while being in their eyes a bad person, they continue to get rich. And so, and that's the problem with being able to show them, is that we're still writing them the checks. So did they really suffer from what they did? Probably not. But that's the other side, is that, you know, look, the real world views everybody on TV as the 1%. And that is certainly not
that
true.
That ain't true.
There are different paychecks for different people. But that's the problem, is I don't mind them taking them off, but I'm okay with them showing the recovery.
That's a good one. Everybody wants to tell their story. I just feel like if we can watch the demise of people on Intervention, and we can watch the demise of people on, you know, all of these celebrity rehabs, let's watch the demise of these people and the recovery of these people on network television as well. But that's, again, the rubber band got pulled way too tight. And at some point, it's going to pop back into place.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a little looser than what it was.
Absolutely.
But it's going to be.
We've seen this story. It's just been different stories. We've seen this show. It's just been different shows.
Yes.
But the show will come back, and we will go back to some semblance of a reality where there are bad people in the world, there are good people in the world, and there are good people who have done bad things who just need to be shown a good way of doing it again. And that's okay. We all make mistakes. People make mistakes. We're certainly not all perfect, and no one has lived a perfect life. And so we have to allow people to make those mistakes and recover from them. Their livelihoods should not be taken away because of ignorance.
Yeah.
It should be taken away because of malice. There's a huge difference between the two. There's a lot of people in this world that are not very smart. And that doesn't mean that they are not good at what they've done. And it doesn't mean that they should have their lives taken away.
I love this conversation. This went in a different direction. By the way, literally every week, I'm like, whoa, this took a turn, and I'm loving it, and I'm living for it.
I'm like, wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to be talking about TGI Fridays?
That was my next question. By the way, I passed by one the other day. Y'all, the ribs at TGI Fridays, I'm not going to get into it, but
yes,
you guys are partnering on something right now.
Yes, it is absolutely pretty cool. You know, look, we've all been, you know, kind of tied down over the last year, and it's been incredibly difficult for all of us to deal with all of this, right? But TGI Fridays has decided, you know what, let's have some fun. We're starting to open back up again. And so they came up with, you know, Under the Big Top campaign, and I'm the ringmaster. So I'm trying to bring everybody in. You remember back in the day when, like, you know, the circus would come to town and
Barnum and Bailey's,
they would set up the big tent, and then everybody would be like, ooh, I can't wait to go. And you were a kid, you're running around. Well, that's what we've done. we've got the big top. We've got the tent outside on the Fridays where we're doing everything over the top. All the meals are over the top. You know, the drinks are over the top. I mean, we've got, you know, honey glaze, whiskey glaze, burgers and donuts, you know, and burgers and the mozzarella sticks. And, you know, listen, TGI Fridays, the mozzarella sticks, they created it, right? So we took it to another level. We got the mozzarella sticks and a grilled cheese sandwich and the cheesies, and you can spread it apart. It goes forever. It's fantastic. Yeah. So it is literally, you know, taking some fun and having some fun. And, you know, you'll go to the TGI Fridays and they're at participating. You'll see the big tent at participating locations around the country. But all the food items and the menu, they're at all of the different TGI Fridays. And it's just a great way to go and be safe. You know, you're outside, so you're not having to go inside. And if you're uncomfortable going inside, you can always take your food to go, you know, grab and go and enjoy it at home. But it's always been about, you know, I've always been about bringing people together, right? Like, as in this whole conversation,
that's your
right? Yeah. Inclusion. Well, include having a good time with your family in a very safe manner. And TGI Fridays under the Big Top campaign is one that is destined to be successful in bringing people together in a fun, happy way. And the food items are literally over the top, right?
I passed by one the other night and that was cracking.
When you have a cotton candy Cosmo, it's just a Cosmopolitan done different.
Thank you so much for coming on this show. It was such a pleasure. And I feel like I need to check in with you once a year because I feel like your life is always changing. There's always a new project working on. And I feel like you're having this second coming right now. So you're on my radar. Put me on your radar.
You're on my radar.
We're going to talk once a year.
Absolutely. I love it.
Have a good one.
You too. Be safe. And, you know, we're going to change the world one day at a time.
You guys, thanks for listening. And do not forget to subscribe. And you can follow me at The Lady Sitter. And be sure to come back every week for another pour of your favorite celebrity.